Our gospel reading this morning is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and following. It's the story of the Magi as we continue our series, Silent Night, Holy Night, and this morning we're reflecting on following the star. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at Follow the Star this morning and reflecting on the Magi and the spiritual truths they have to teach us. But first, I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this Sunday school teacher who was quizzing her kids on the details of the Christmas story, and so she asked them, was it three wise men or three wise women? And so a little girl raised her hand. She said it was three wise men. And the teacher said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "Yes. Otherwise, it would change everything." And the little boy said, "Well, it wouldn't change anything, would it?" She said, "Yes. It was three wise women instead of three wise men. It would change everything. First of all, they would have stopped sooner and asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, and presented gifts of a casserole and disposable diapers." And all the women said, "Amen." Yeah. I don't know if you've searched much in your life. Savannah and I were searching for a new nativity scene. We had two small sets, and Savannah wanted a bigger nativity scene. And so we went to Meijer and Walmart, and this was in late November. The place was full of all the trappings of Christmas. They had things to eat. They had lots of presents. They had lots of wrappings, all kinds of decorations, all kinds of glamour and glitz and gold, but not one nativity set. And I said to her, I feel a bit like the Magi wandering, looking for the Christ child. And she said, "Oh, Dad, I feel a sermon coming." But anyway, I mean, isn't it true in our culture today that they embrace a lot of things about Christmas? We love presents. We love food. We love the wrappings and the glamour and the glitz and all of that. But sometimes we forget the reason for the season. And I think we're all searching. Now, the Magi were searching. They knew all about glamour and glitz and gold. They were wealthy, affluent. After all, they were kings, we believe, certainly Magi, people of wisdom and wealth, and they came searching. And I think the good news for us this morning is if you're searching in this new year, if you're searching for peace or for new life in Christ, for a new spiritual vitality, or just forgiveness and grace, which we all need, and love and hope and peace and joy, then I think there's some spiritual truths that we can learn from the Magi. So I invite you this morning to take a moment and follow the star. And there's three truths that I really learned from the Magi. And the first is that Christ came not just for believers, but also for seekers. You know, sometimes we think, well, the church is just for believers. You have to have a deep faith in order to go to church. But when we look back at the Magi here, we realize that Christ came not just for believers, but also for seekers. And if Christ came for seekers as well as believers, then the church ought to be here for seekers as well. Think about it for a moment. Now, the Magi, we believe, were followers of Zoroaster, scholars tell us. Now, Zoroastrian followed the stars, and not just in an astrological way, really in deep science. It's kind of a high-level astronomy for that day and time. And so they're keen watchers of the stars. In some sense, I suppose you could almost see them as scientists, but they were people who were seeking from other religions. And they came seeking, and God called them with a star because they didn't have the promises of Scripture necessarily. And so they were far off and came seeking. Those closest to the promises, Herod and the scribes and Pharisees, weren't looking at all, even though the promised Messiah was very close to them. And so it reminds us that God came not just for believers, but also for seekers. and that God called them with the star. And when they came to Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, they welcomed them with open arms. And it reminds us, I think, that the church, just like Christ, is not just for believers, but also for seekers. We want to open our arms wide to those who are seeking, to those who are searching. And it isn't just sort of a one-and-done thing. I think many times in our life, we're searching for a deeper level of spirituality, or there are those who are searching just to find Christ. And we need, as the church, to welcome them and with open arms and to invite them in. It also reminds us, when we think about the Magi for a moment, is that they were people from afar, from a different religion, different faith. Their lives were transformed. But when they brought their gifts, they had new insights. And so the gifts tell us something about the Magi. They also tell us something about Christ. So the first gift was gold, of course, so we know that they were quite wealthy, and Herod was probably impressed by them. But when they offered the gold to Christ, we're reminded that Christ was also a heavenly king. They also brought gifts of frankincense and myrrh. That tells us something about where they were from. We think that the high-quality frankincense and myrrh have been traded now for about 5,000 years. The best quality is found in Western Africa, parts of Western India, and parts of Western Persia. And so those are the places we usually think of the wise men or magi coming from. We think of people in other places. And when we think of frankincense, of course, frankincense has a white color. We think also not just of who these magi were, but we also think of Christ is the Lamb of God, the pure one that would give his life. And we think of myrrh, which is reddish in color. We think of the blood that Christ was willing to shed on the cross so we could know God's forgiveness and grace in our lives. And so in a very real sense, they shine a light on the identity of Christ, as well as shine a light on who they were as magi. And when we welcome people from outside our maybe closed community, many times we discover new truths that deepen our faith relationship. And so we as a church should take up the challenge to seekers and to welcome them. And also, if you're a seeker, I think there's good news in knowing that these magi found what they were looking for. It wasn't an easy journey. They had to come across a desert. They had to search. They had to ask questions. But eventually, they found the Christ child. And I think in the same way, if you're beginning this new year and you're searching, you're seeking for a deeper level of spiritual life, know that God will guide you and that God is there for seekers. The second truth I learned from these magi is that Christ came for all people. I mean, think about it for a moment. On the one hand, there's the shepherds, and on the other hand, there's the magi. We think of the shepherds, we think of those who are probably relatively poor, uneducated, and they were on one side of, we think of the manger, and then we think of the magi on the other side. They were wealthy and educated. We think of the shepherds, too, as ones who were inside sort of the religious circle. They were Jewish folks who knew the promises of Scripture. And we think of the Magi who were outside. They were from other nations and places and religions and languages. And so you think of them both welcome before the manger scene, the rich and the poor, people from other places. And it's the same with Christ's truth. Christ is here for rich and poor, black, white, every nation, every place, every race is welcome at the foot of the cross. And that's so important. I also think that it's well that Matthew reminds us that Mary and Joseph would soon have to flee for their lives, fearing for the life of Jesus himself, and they would flee to Egypt and become refugees there. And so we're reminded they were outcasts there, and so they had to leave. And so we want to welcome all those who may be pushed back in society. And so those truths are really important, I think, for the church and our spiritual lives, that Christ came not just for believers, but also for seekers, and that Christ came for all people. And the final truth is this, that if we're seeking, that God will guide us. I think about that for a moment, that there's lots of ways that God guided those magi. They saw the outward sign of this star. Some people close up didn't realize that. There's some fascinating discoveries in the scientific world about that star, about that sort of the king planet, which is Saturn, aligning with the king star, which is Regulus. They recognized that, which people close at hand did not. And so God was speaking to them through creation itself. I'm reminded of Hugh Ross, who's an astrophysicist, and he says that he literally found God by looking through a telescope. Now, most of us don't come to God that way, but he was an atheist. He was an elite astrophysicist looking through a telescope at a very high-level planetarium, and as he was looking through this telescope one night, all of a sudden it dawned on him that the places that he was looking at, the stars, really the furthest we could see in the universe, those laws of physics that apply to our planet, in our world here, are the very same laws of physics that apply on the other side of the universe. He began to say that to him it just didn't seem like a coincidence, that there had to be a creator, a master designer behind all that. And so he went on this spiritual quest. He was seeking, and eventually he found his way to the Christ child and to Christ on the cross and the resurrected Lord. In our own lives, I think wherever we're looking sometimes that God can speak to us in ways we might not even realize. Of course, there's also God's Word itself, and Martin Luther was fond of saying that the Bible literally can be God's manger to us, that Christ is lying there. If we approach Scripture as if God should be speaking to us. And so I challenge us in this new year to think about looking around us for the signs of God working in the world around us, but also to look at God's Word. And I challenge you every day to read God's Word and read it as kind of a love letter. What is God saying to you today? Ask yourself, what does that mean to me today? And then finally, those are the signs on the outside, but there's also the Holy Spirit that's working within us. I think that in all of our lives, God can tug us to the work of the Holy Spirit in ways we might not fully understand, but God is present with us. God is leading us and tugging us along the way of life if we truly open our heart to Him, and sometimes in ways we wouldn't even realize. One of the things I do every day is to take a little time with a devotional, and you can kind of see that people sometimes say, well, why don't you buy a new book? It looks kind of worn. In fact, it's been taped together many times, and the reason I don't is that I really like old books because they develop character, and I've got my memories, and I got my little marks in there and even some sweat. I came across this meditation the other day in this book by Max Lucado, and I want you to just listen to it as if it's written to you this morning, and it's entitled, Are You Listening? And Max Lucado writes this, once there was a man who dared God to speak, burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow you. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Still the waves like you did for Galilee, God, and I will listen. And so the man sat by a bush near a wall, close to the sea, and waited for God to speak. And God heard the man, so God answered. He sent a fire not of a bush, but for a church. He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. He stilled a storm not of the sea, but of the soul. And God waited for the man to respond, and waited, and waited. But because the man was looking at bushes, not hearts, and bricks and not lives, seas and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. Finally, he looked to God and asked, have you lost your power? And God looked at the man and said, have you lost your hearing? You know, every day, God's Spirit tugs us in a direction. And sometimes we have to pause from the busyness of life and all the glitz and glamour of the culture around us and to allow our heart to be pulled by the Holy Spirit, to listen to that still small voice that God might be speaking to us in this new year. So God can lead us and guide us through His Holy Spirit. If you're wondering about the new year and wondering what God has in store for you, I'd like to remind you that if you're seeking, that God still invites us to follow the star. And God still has promises that He wants to unfold for us. I want to read again that promise that Ellsworth read just a few minutes ago, and I think it's a beautiful promise for the new year, found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it's one of my favorite promises in the Bible. It says this, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. If you need a promise in the new year as you follow the star, realize this, that God loves you, and God is leading you to Him, that God wants you to follow the star and to find the Christ child. And realize this, that God's light shines brightest in the darkest night. So if you're going through struggles and adversity and difficulty, you feel you're searching and seeking and can't find what you want, realize that there's a star shining for you, and the Holy Spirit is leading you in a way. And it isn't just sort of one time where we experience the love of God in a way that changes our life. That's very important. But also God leads us to a level. I'm reminded that the Magi had their lives changed, it says, with exceedingly great joy, and then went and shared the news with others. And as we're pulled in that direction, that God changes our hearts and lives in incredible ways. We've been looking at Silent Night, that great carol, and I want to look at it one last time in the 200th anniversary. And I want to just shine a light on that. A verse that's about the light, which says this, Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light. With the angels let us sing, Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. If you're seeking this morning, seeking something deeper and newer in the new year, then I encourage you to follow the star. Realize that God came not just for believers, but also for seekers. That God came for all of us, and if we're seeking, then God will guide us. I'm going to close with this story, a true story. And I had a friend when I was living in Virginia Beach, and she was searching for faith, and she was coming to church, but it wasn't really clicking, and shared some scripture verses with her and some theology and what have you, but nothing really seemed to click to her, and so she's searching, and I just can't find it. And so I received a call one morning out of the blue, and she says, "You're never going to believe it." And I said, "What?" She said, "God spoke to me." I said, well, at first I thought she was joking, but then she was serious. So she was so excited. She said, "Yes, God spoke to me." So I said, "Well, please tell me more about it." She says, "Yeah, you're not going to believe this, but I was driving along the interstate, and all of a sudden I was cut off by this truck." And she says, "You're never going to believe what was on the back of the truck in big letters." And I said, "Well, what?" She said, "God, God, you wouldn't believe it." In huge letters, G-O-D. She said, in small letters, it said guaranteed overnight delivery, but in big letters, it was God. And she said, "I knew in that moment, because I was praying that God would speak to me, that it was God." And I said, "Wow, you know, all the scripture I shared and all the theology, and a truck cuts her off, and bam, God." Well, you know, that's okay though, isn't it? She was kind of an artistic, visual kind of a person, and she wasn't drawn as much to books and literature or theology and philosophy, but when that truck cut her off and she saw G-O-D, she knew that God was speaking to her, and that was sort of a pathway, that was her guiding star. I don't know what it will be for you in the new year, but God personalizes the way he tugs on our heart. But for all of us, there's a star shining in the night, and that God can change our life. So as we seek God, whether you're a first-time believer, want to kneel before the foot of the manger and the foot of the cross and allow God to change your life in Christ, whether you're a longtime believer and want God to take you to the next level of faith and you desire that, know that God is pulling us forward in the new year, that God promises us his blessing, deeper insights, and changed life. So I challenge us to follow the star. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we enter a new year, a blank sheet of paper, we thank you for the blessings of the past, but we look forward to the new. We hope you would unfold your promises and your spirit in a deeper way in our hearts and lives. Help us to follow the star in this new year. Help us to allow you to change our life in new ways. Help us to discover new truths and old truths in deeper and newer and fresher ways. Help us to truly be the family of faith, that we may follow you, to serve you and to serve others, and to love you and to love others. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.